Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
I'm going to speak to you a little bit, still about the crosswalk. Part two, but we're going to focus a little bit on Judas. Matthew chapter 26, if you'll go there, Matthew chapter 26, verse 1 through 4. And it came about when Jesus had finished all the words he had to say, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man is to be delivered up for crucifixion." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people were gathered together in the court of the high priest named Caiaphas, and they plotted together to seize Jesus by stealth and kill him. Delivered up means he's being handed over with an evil intention for him to be under the power of the authority of the Romans. So Jesus is telling them that, and the disciples are listening to it. But this is messing up the disciples. Their heartbeat was to come into prominence, come into power, come into authority, great authority, and positions, because they were wanting Jesus to establish the kingdom, and them being disciples, surely they'd be one of the elites. They'd be one of the leaders. They would have rule, and everything, because you remember that two of them were talking about, hey, we want to sit one on the right and one on the left. So you see they're already jockeying for position, because that's what they was wanting to do. They was wanting to have that. Then here he is saying he's going to die. They knew the Passover was coming, but now he's saying he's going to be handed over and he's going to be crucified, he's going to die. Well, now their thinking is like, whoa, wait a minute. Have you ever had expectations of certain things and it didn't work out like you thought? That's what these guys were warring with right now. Wait a minute, that's not going to work out like we thought it was going to work out. We just want you to establish your kingdom now and set Israel up and let us rule. Let us have some significance. Let us have some influence. And you begin to see that that's working through the disciples. But there was one disciple named Judas. He went and made a deal with the chief priest. Now, when did he make the deal? Well, when you begin to think about it, he's there too, and he's hearing what Jesus has to say. He's hearing that, okay, Jesus is going to be delivered up. Jesus is going to die on the cross. So things aren't working out like I thought they would. We have to be careful when things don't work out like we thought they would. Because we have those things. Things didn't work out like I thought they were. And even walking with Jesus, things don't work out like I thought they would. So we have to be careful with that. We have to watch out for that and not let our disappointment rise to the level of not following Jesus. So we look at this and we see, when did Judas make this deal? Verse 6 of Matthew 26, let's keep on reading just a little bit. And then when Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster vial with very costly perfume, and she poured it upon his head as he reclined at the table. But the disciples were indignant. The disciples were annoyed and resentful. All of them were annoyed, all of them were resentful. All of them had that, but only one of them, that in this passage, St. John reveals that the one that says this, "What a waste! This is a waste! pouring this valuable oil upon Jesus. This is a waste. This could have been sold for a lot of money and given to the poor. That's Judas talking. St. John says it was Judas that said that word, said those words. They were all indignant. They were all annoyed and all resentful and said, what a waste. Let me ask you something. Who allowed the waste? Somebody said it. Jesus allowed it. They considered it waste. He considered it an extravagant gift for his burial, getting him ready for his burial, what he's going to have to go through. But they said, oh, man, we could have used that money in other situations. It could have been given to the poor. Judas wasn't worried about the poor. Because in John, it says that the reason he said that, because he held the money bag. And every once in a while, his hand would go into the money bag for him. He would pilfer from the money bag of the disciples and Jesus, and he would put it in his own pocket. The Bible says he was a thief. So his heart was to take, not give. His heart was his own self-motivation, his own self-promotion, his own self-worthiness, and what he could gain out of what he was doing. Actually, Judas says, Judas means praises of God. To praise God comes from Judah. But he didn't follow his name. So it goes on, and he says that Jesus said, beware. Why do you bother this woman? Why do you bother this woman? You're bothering her. And all she has done a good deed for me. For the poor you'll always have, but you will not always have me. Selfish ambition will undermine your crosswalk, your walk with God. Your selfish ambition, your self-promotion, everything that you wanted to do for self, everything that you wanted yourself, will interfere with your walk with God. It will undermine your walk with God. So even when we're disappointed, and even when we see, I could have used that money, we have to understand that the provider is Him. The one who takes care of you and I is Him. We do what we can, but that's all we can do. But He is the source, not the resource. He is the source of everything that we need. So we do not want, and also when you begin to see that you're disappointed, you need to watch out for your heart, because you can be set up to betray as well in order to get what you want. See, the other disciples did not take that route. Even though they were indignant, even though they felt this could have been used somewhere else, but they did not take the route that Judas took. See, this thing about selfish ambition in your heart, over in James 3, it says this: when you have that in your heart, do not lie against the truth. So when you have selfish ambition, you will be prone to lie about your selfish ambition. That's what the Bible says. You'll be prone to lead people astray that I'm not selfish. It's not really what I want. The Bible says it is. When you have that selfish ambition, this is all about me. This is all for me. It's all about me. Can't be about us. It's about Him. But when we start having those selfish ambitions to take hold of our heart, and the Bible says this wisdom that you have in your heart, that He said, this does not come down from heaven. This is earthly wisdom. This is an earthly thing for your selfish ambition. This is an earthly thing that you want. It's not from heaven. And it goes on and it says this, and since it's from this earth, it is earthly, natural, and demonic. I didn't say that. Jesus did. or the word said it. It was Jesus. Earthly. You hear that? It's earthly and it's demonic. It can actually be demonic. This wisdom that we think we have can actually be of a demon. Why? Selfish ambition is an open door for us to be fed that and lie about it and continue on the journey that we want to go because we feel like we're going to be better off. So Judas sees this thing crumbling and he wonders, what can he do? Verse 14 Matthew 26. One of the 12, named Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said this, "What are you willing to give me to deliver him up to you?" Now he's striking a deal. What are you willing to give me to be able to deliver him, to hand him over to you? What are you willing to give me? So now the bartering or the negotiations begin. And they weighed out for him 30 pieces of silver. And from then on, he began looking for a good opportunity to betray Jesus. From that point on, he said, all right, where's the best time? When's the best time? Where's the best place? Because he's already got the money. Do you know that his betrayal was prophesied 600 years earlier? Zechariah 11, it says this, "And I said to them, if it is good in your sight, give me my wages. If not, never mind." So they weighed out 30 shekels of silver as my wages. Then the Lord said to me, "Throw it to the potter." That magnificent or insulting price at which I was valued by them. So I took the 30 shekels of silver and threw them to the potter in the house of the Lord. 600 years earlier. So you hear Judas saying, "What do you give me? If it's good in your sight, give me my wages. What do you give me?" Begin to make, Luke talks about it being a contract, actually being a covenant. He actually made a covenant. That is a God-ordained thing. It's covenant. But he made a covenant with them. "I will do what I said I'll do." It was a covenant. He goes on and he prophesied that it would be silver. It wouldn't be gold and it wouldn't be copper. It would be silver. It was prophesied that it was going to be 30 pieces of silver. And it was 30 pieces of silver. Listen to this. Under the Mosaic law, 30 pieces of silver had to be given for a for a slave that was pierced or gored by another person's oxen. It was 30 pieces of silver was under the Mosaic law. That is the amount that had to be paid for a slave who was pierced and died by an ox. So what is Jesus worth to them? The price of a slave. The price of a slave. And was he pierced? Yes, he was. He was nailed. He was pierced. So you see that this is the servant. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 says that he was a servant of God. He was a bond slave. A bond slave of God. And he was wounded and pierced with nails and a spear. So 600 years prior, God is already saying, this is going to take place. That's the kind of God that we serve. That's the kind of God that loves us. He is the one that said, this is going to happen. He was devalued 30 pieces. He was rejected. Then it said, cast it to the potter. Okay, we'll get to that. The insulting amount. Cast it to the potter. Throw the silver in the house of God. Let's look at Matthew chapter 27. But when Judas had betrayed him, he saw that Jesus was going to be condemned. He was going to be condemned to death. He felt remorse. Listen carefully. He felt remorse. He had sorrow. But he never found repentance. And there's reasons why. He felt remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver, which is blood money. He returned it to the chief priest and the elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. But they said, what is this to us? You see to it yourself. So he threw the pieces of silver into the sanctuary and departed and went away and hanged himself. So where did he throw the money? They wouldn't receive it. It said, and the chief priest took the pieces of silver, in Jesus' name. Now take that. So he threw the pieces of silver into the sanctuary. I've sinned betraying innocent blood. What is this to us? Do whatever you want. He went out and hanged himself. The chief priest took the pieces of silver. Listen to this. The chief priest took the pieces of silver and said, it is not lawful to put into the temple of treasury since this is the price of blood. Wants to do this. Oh, pastor, now pastor. I said flesh. I got flesh just like you do. But anyway, I'll put it down here real good. No, I'm messing with that. I really am. I can't believe he did that. Well, believe it. Anyway, he says, it is not lawful. Listen to this. Here is bloody hands that are blooded with the blood of, because of the blood of Jesus. They paid that 30. They're the one that paid it. And then now they're so high and mighty, they say, we cannot let this money go into the treasury of the temple. So bloody hands picked up blood money. You hear that? Picked up blood money. And then they counseled together, and watch this. And with the money that he threw back into the temple, they bought a potter's field. He said, and Zechariah said, throw it to the potter. He bought a potter's field for the burial of strangers. For this reason, that field has been called Field of Blood to this day, prophesied 600 years beforehand. So how did Judas get to this place? John 6. Many of the disciples, well, before we get to that part, he's out on the hillside and he's teaching because a lot of people are following. And he turns around and he looks at them. He said, if y'all are going to follow me, you're going to have to what? Eat my flesh and drink my blood. He's talking about a covenant. He's talking partaking of him. And it made the whole crowd upset. And the whole crowd left him, walked off. The disciples see it. We're supposed to be building. Listen, we're supposed to be building a church, building a kingdom. Here you are running people off with what you said. Do you hear that? See, the disciples didn't quite understand it as they went.
But he says, Jesus looks at them and says, they said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? Then Jesus, conscious of what they're saying, that they were grumbling. What's the word? Grumbling. Say it loud. Grumbling. Listen to this. They were grumbling at this. And he said to them, does this cause you to stumble? What does grumbling do? Causes you to stumble. They're grumbling. He said, does this cause you to stumble? Anytime we start grumbling, get ready to stumble. That is not the way of God. Gratitude and gratefulness is, but not grumbling. Not grumbling. He said, does this cause you to stumble? And he goes on and said, it is the spirit that gives life. Flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you, they're spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe. I wonder who that is. There are some of you who do not believe. And Jesus from the beginning knew who would not believe him and who it would that would betray him. As a result, Numbers, verse 66. As a result, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. The grumbling got to them. They left him, and the Bible says that group never followed him again. Jesus said, therefore, to the 12, do you want to go away too? Since you brought this to my attention, do you want to go with them? Because the same goes for you. The same thing goes for you. If you're going to follow me, you're going to have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Do you want to go too? Everybody gets to make that choice. Everybody gets to make that decision. That's the same for us today. Simon Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Who in the world can we go to? You have eternal life. So they've made their decision. And we have believed. And we have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. And Jesus answered them, did I myself not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil? Now, he didn't say one of you is the devil. He said one of you is a devil. And that word means a malicious gossip. It means a slanderous person. Always accusing. Who's he talking about? Who's he talking about? Judas. See, we believe, but Judas did not believe. He said, one of you is a devil. He meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. For he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. So we see Judas has already become devilish. He's already become and fallen prey to this thing of malicious gossip, being a slanderous person, and being the accuser. Always accusing. We need to be careful which route we take. We need to be careful that even when things go south on what we were expecting, that we don't get bothered by the influence of the enemy to become like him. Like the enemy. Then we come back to the supper. Jesus became troubled in his spirit and testified and said, truly, truly, I say to you that one of you will betray me. the disciples began looking at one another, saying, who is it? Who is it? I wonder who it is. I wonder who it is. Who is it? Who is it? I wonder who it is. That's going to betray him. Who is it? Who is it? Matthew 22 says, each one of them began to say, listen to this. Each one of the disciples said, surely not I, Lord. What'd they call him? Lord. Surely not I, Lord. But Judas, who was betraying him, answered, surely not I, Rabbi. You see the difference? You already see the difference in his walk and their walk with Jesus. They called him Lord. Judas called him teacher, rabbi. What do you call him? But see, Jesus says this. He said, why do you call me Lord and you do not the things that I tell you to do? See, the reason they called him Lord is because they were doing the things that Jesus said for them to do. The reason he called him rabbi, because he wasn't Lord of Judas. Judas didn't see him as Lord. He saw him as a good teacher. Then when Judas said, surely not I, Rabbi, Jesus said to him, you have said it yourself. Jesus therefore answered, that is the one whom, because they want to know who is it, is the one whom I dip a morsel and give it to him. He takes a morsel of bread. See, this is before the communion. It was right before they did that this is my body. But he dipped a morsel and handed it to Judas. See, people say, didn't Judas take communion? No, he took the morsel. And after, the Bible says, and after he took the morsel, he left immediately. He dipped it and he gave it to him. And Judas, and after he took it, it said, Satan then entered into him. Now, did Satan physically enter into it? No, spiritual. Their spirit, he was being influenced at that moment to do whatever Satan wanted him to do. Jesus looked at him. He said, what you do, do quickly. And that's not the only time. Watch this. At the garden, Jesus is praying, sweating blood, as sweats of blood on his head. And then he said, now the betrayer had given him the sign, said this, given them a sign, said, now listen, here's how I'm going to let you know who he is, which one he is. Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him. What's he going to do? What's he going to do? He's going to walk up to him, and what's he going to do? Say it out loud. Yes. What did we say the other week about worship? What does worship mean? To kiss. So Judas, of all things, uses a form of worship to betray Jesus. Jesus notices it. Is it you betray me with a kiss? With worship? A heart that was influenced by Satan. But anyway, before he kisses him, he walks up to him. He walks up to Jesus and said this. Stand up. He walks up to Jesus. Jesus is in the garden. There's soldiers behind, and he walks up to Jesus, and here's what he says. Greetings, Rabbi. Hello. How are you? Greetings, Rabbi. Everything's right between me and you. I'm greeting you. And then he kisses him. You can be seated. So you begin to see that Judas's heart is dark. He wanted all the fame. He wanted all the fortune. He wanted everything. But he felt like Jesus wasn't going to give it to him after what he had seen them do with the oil and after what he had said about him going to be crucified. So we can follow Judas and betray God many ways with false worship. He had the lack, you know, he lacked submission to Jesus as Lord. He was only a good teacher. He was greedy with money. He kept the money bag and he pilfered the money out. He had unbelief in who Jesus was. He lacked the following of Jesus' word. His hunger was for status and prominence. His criticism of Jesus for the cost being wasted. He had a critical heart of Jesus. You know, we got to watch. Well, God didn't heal. And all of a sudden we'll start blaming God for not doing something that we expected him to do. His heart is open. It's open to malicious gossip and slanderous accusations. His deception was so good that none of the disciples knew which one it was. He was a pretty good actor. And then he betrayed him with false worship. Last verse. Last passage. Jesus said this. If anyone desires to come after me, do you have that desire? Do you have that delight in you to come after Jesus? He said, if anyone has that delightfulness and has that desire to come after me, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross daily and follow me. Come after me means to accompany me for growth that I offer you. It's not about his salvation. We can be born again without ever picking up our cross. Do you hear what I'm saying? We can be born again and sit still until we die. That's not a crosswalk. He expects us to walk with our cross, not his. He's carried his cross. We need to carry ours. Deny himself. Say no to your own will. There'll be things that the enemy will want you to do, want me to do. This is what I want you to do. You have to deny the things that God's not telling you to do. Take up means to lift up high and suspend. To keep it up. Don't lay it down. Keep it up. Take up his cross. His cross. Subject to the Father's will and follow. It's an inward fellowship that produces an outward action. Like we said a few Sundays ago, if you were on trial to be a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? We don't need to be like Judas. We need to hear the Lord's voice. We need to follow him. We need to obey him. We need to do everything. We need to give up our own will and do his will. And we need to confess him as Lord and obey him when he tells us to do something. So that's part of the life of Judas. Prophesied about 600 years before Jesus was ever born. So here we are in this midst of great grace that God has given us during this time of, and season of grace. And he's saying, I want you to follow me, but I want all of you. I want everything that's inside you to be surrendered to me. It'll be the best thing you ever do. So, with this, I give an invitation. Anyone has not made that decision to follow Jesus, today's your day. Does anybody want to, you want to say, I choose to follow Jesus. I'm going to lay what I want aside. And this selfish ambition that's driving me, I give it up. Is there anyone here that says, I want to be the one. I want to be the one to follow him today. Anybody? Okay. Okay. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for sending your son. We thank you, Jesus, that you walked the walk that we could never walk without your help. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who speaks to our heart, who leads us into all truth, who comforts us when we're going through difficult times. And we thank you for your word today. And we thank you, God, that you allow us to surrender to you. So if you're just wanting to do that, just you and the Lord alone, you just right now, you just say, I surrender, Lord. I surrender. I've been warring inside myself about certain things, and I've been wanting certain things to happen and they haven't happened, and I get frustrated, so I surrender. I lay it all down. I belong to you, and you certainly belong to me. So may this day be a day that we become the disciples, the people that are taught by you and disciplined by you, that everything that we say and do, we're not perfect, Lord. You know that. We know that. You're just looking for us to surrender every moment of every day. Carry the cross up high and not ever let it down. That's our cross. That's the things that we need to die to. So, Father, help us do that. Ignite us with your passion. Fill us with your joy. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. And we declare unto you today that we love you. And we worship you and you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.